The next guest in the house, his comments to be presented today, 4 o'clock at the Aquinas College Performing Arts Center. The Wege Foundation hosts this 22nd Wege Speaker Series, and honored to speak, I'll give you a tease right now, Dr. J. Drew Lanham on being a rare bird coloring the conservation conversation. And there's a bird on the cover of the program. I think that's, is that a robin?
That is an American robin. You're absolutely right. Now you're a birder.
Okay, it's as easy as that, isn't it? I don't know. I think it might take a little more experience, and goodness gracious, let's talk about your experience and then certainly your comments. First of all, welcome to the morning show to you, esteemed scientist Dr. Drew Lanham.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Yeah. Glad to be in Grand Rapids.
Appreciate you. Clemson University is where you hail from, from where you hail?
Well, that's, you know, that's my shop. That's where I work. That's where we've settled, but originally from a little town in the Midlands of South Carolina called Edgefield.
Well, South Carolina, beautiful, beautiful country, and is it warmer than 59 degrees down your way?
You know what? Just a little bit.
That's right.
Just a little bit.
Last weekend it was pretty cold.
Yeah, you know, it's been we've been in flux with the weather, but spring seems to be springing finally everywhere.
Well, glad we have you here in Michigan tonight. Again, actually this afternoon, 4 to 5:30. We'll get to the details as this will also be streamed, but there's nothing like being in the house at the Performing Arts Center, which is a cool venue. You are here, an ornithologist, a conservationist, distinguished professor at Clemson, and your latest book, The Home Place, Memoirs of a Colored Man's Love Affair with Nature. Tell us a little bit about you, Dr. Lanham.
Well, you know, it's I like to define myself as a country boy, really. I'm a Southerner by birth and by soil, and so, you know, that means a lot of things to be a black Southerner, grown up rurally as I was, by two parents who happened to be educators and farmers. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a nature and nurture for me when it comes to my love of the outdoors and love of wild things. And so The Home Place is really sort of an homage to that, to growing up black in the South on a rural land base.
And would we call this your Drew's memoir?
That's my memoir. That's, you know, and it seems at first blush when you begin a memoir, an autobiography, it really seems to be a very self-serving kind of exercise. It was cathartic in many ways,
yes,
to be honest about it.
Yes. And yet your talk today, I'm sure, yes, talking about you, but also talking about this aspect of birding?
Yeah, birding and for us to understand how we connect to the natural world really everywhere, and that for all of us, clean air, clean water, clean soil, clean environment matters. And I know here that part of that tradition, of the Wege tradition, has been to connect people to nature in ways that are sustainable and healthful. And so as living creatures, as beings who all strive to thrive, as I like to say, that a part of that is understanding how nature works, understanding how birds are faring in the environment. And as birds go, so go human beings.
So again, you will be live streamed on facebook.com/BlissForGR, because our Grand Rapids Mayor Bliss will make this available through her Facebook account. That doesn't happen in every city.
No, you know, pretty proud of that. And, you know, really, I'm so grateful to the Wege Foundation for the way that they have, first of all, brought me here and then promoted this speaker series, but then understanding how many wonderful people have come here before me. And so being able to speak to issues of environmental justice and nature are, it's an honor to be here, a
yes.
privilege.
Yes. Again, you self-proclaiming yourself a rare bird, not only that, but also talking about birds. Let's get a tease, if you would. You will be addressing issues related to the environment, social justice, and bringing nature into the urban experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's, again, so I'm a bird brain, right? As an ornithologist, a lot of what I do is to think about things from a bird's perspective. And so to ask us to expand ourselves, to sort of come above the landscape and imagine ourselves as birds. And birds have what we call ranges. That is the aerial extent to which they exist. So part of that is transitory and what birds do in migration. Another portion of that is where they come to stay and rest, breed perhaps, or spend the winter. But in each of those places, whether it's wintering, migration, or in the spring, they have to have certain requisites that make them comfortable. So if that's clean water, if that is a certain type of forest, then that commands the attention of the bird and allows that species, that particular species, to settle in a place with comfort. On the other hand, if the place that they typically find comfort or that they only have to land creates stress, then that creates a different kind of life. So I like to talk about the difference between survival and thrival. Survival and thrival. The ability to just be in a place and you barely hang on, that's survival. To be in a place, though, where you can get all of your life's requisites met easily, but then on top of that, be able to add to that in other ways, that's thrival. So I like to think about bird ranges, and I like to think about human ranges, and I like to think about those range maps and how they overlap. And so that's part of what I'll be talking about tonight, this afternoon.
I like this. You say birds and people, as you're talking, as you're discussing, need the same air, same water, same soil, and conservation is key to both your profession and to your soul.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I define conservation as really that intense care for something so deeply that you're willing to work for it to save some, not only for the present, but for the future and for generations that you may not even see or know. And so at the end of the day, that intense care comes down to the four-letter word that we don't use enough in our field, and that's love. How we care for other beings and how we care for one another. And it's impossible for me to understand how anyone can care for nature and not care for his or her fellow human being and vice versa. So I think that's a critical aspect of this, that how we care for one another, how we care for the earth, that they're all intertwined.
You have a strong chapter, Birding While Black. May I ask about this?
Yeah, that chapter is really sort of, I'd like to think of it really sort of as the wedge chapter in the book, in that being a black birder, being someone who is in sort of a super minority, at least in who birders are. I've said that birding is one of the whitest things that you can do, but here I am, yes, yet a black birder. And so that presents issues at times, and where I go and how I'm perceived when I go there. And so I did a piece a while back for Orion Magazine called 9 Rules for the Black Birder. And those 9 rules, while sometimes funny, or as my father used to say, laughable but not really funny, sort of play to that whole idea of how people perceive us in our skins as we go about our daily lives and how that can make a difference for us, for good and for bad.
How does one get into birding?
Well, you know, one gets into birding by growing up in the country, as I did, by growing up rurally, by having 3 television channels. No. 2.5, really. Yeah, 2.5 television channels, depending on how much aluminum foil was on the rabbit ears. But also this desire that I had to fly. I always wanted to fly. And so I was neglectful in my acknowledgments and not giving credit to Wile E. Coyote, because on Saturday mornings when I would watch Wile E. Coyote attempt to fly, I then would go outside after I watched his experiments, and I knew exactly what Wile E. Coyote had done wrong. Ultimately, gravity always won in my case, too, and so birds were the next step. I could live vicariously through birds.
Nice. What would you like your audience, on behalf of the Wege Foundation tonight, Aquinas College? We'll give all the details in a second, but what do you want us to take from your points this afternoon, Dr. Drew Lanham?
I would really like everyone to just sort of take the idea that we're all connected, that we're all connected in sort of this journey through our lives, and not just as human beings to one another, but human beings to the wild world. There is a painting by a pretty famous artist named Charlie Harper, and it's called Mystery of the Missing Migrants, and it shows this colorful collection of birds flying across a night sky as the birds make their way from the tropics to North America. And so I look at that and I see all of these different hues of beings flying together with different requirements, some of them, but ultimately all the same requirements, really. And so I would like to expand Charlie Harper's idea of this melange, this sort of tapestry of life and beauty, to extend to human beings. And so if everyone tonight can take from that we're all connected in this struggle, not only to thrive, but to move forward in better ways for humankind and wildlife, that's the message.
Awesome. Let's hear the message today, 4 o'clock, Aquinas College Performing Arts Center, this 22nd Weggie Speaker Series on behalf of the Weggie Foundation, Dr. J. Drew Lanham. Your book, I Trust the Home Place, is out where all fine books are sold, and I imagine available at your conversation today.
It is, and I'm proud to say that it's the recent winner of the 2018 Southern Environmental Law Center Reed Award. So I'm very proud of that designation.
Thank you for that. Facebook.com/BlissForGR to stream live. If you can't make it in person, how do we find out more about you?
You can find out more about me at Clemson University and my page there, J. Drew Lanham. And I am pretty much splattered all over Google. So find me there, and I'll be happy to talk to you in the interim. Thank you.
I'm being a rare bird this afternoon. Thank you.